Welcome to Royal Table Talk. My name is Latoya Conway Hampton, and I am your host. And today I want to offer you and introduce to others, Mr. I don't even know what to call you. What would you like for me to call you?
You can call me Alton, or you can call me Slim Bad.
All right. Well, I'm going to call you Slim Bad for this case, right? Just for the old sake.
All right. I appreciate it.
All right. And so I want to start off with asking Mr. Slim Bad, how is it in your life today? What is the highlight of your life today?
Valuing freedom. I value my freedom today. You know, there was a time, for a large amount of my life, I've been in and out of jail. We're talking about from juvenile hall to Los Angeles County probation, camps, Camp Munns, to California Youth Authority, Nellis, Preston, Munns, the LA County Jail, Wayside, to state prison, several state prisons in and out of my life, and then just recently been released from federal prison, though. So today for me, it's just being able to wake up and value freedom.
Go where you want to go, do what you want to do, eat what you want to eat. And I see you on Facebook and your food and your cooking and you're trying all of these amazing things. If you can tell your younger self something, what would you tell him?
My younger self would have told me to not be so quick to do things. Not be so quick to act. Don't be so sporadic. Because coming up, I was a live wire. You know what I mean? And sort of like a animal that if you lay still, you get missy. But as soon as you move and you react, then you attract his attention. And I was that type. If you attracted my attention, I was on you. And so if I could have told myself anything, my younger self was to not be so quick to act.
To be in control of those emotions, huh?
Exactly. Ooh, exactly.
Emotions
got me in trouble. My emotions got me in trouble a lot.
I think one lady asked me before, why did you turn to the streets? What made you start to hang out with gang members? And the first thing that came to my mind is I felt safe because living in my home, my stepfather was sexually abusing me. And then I got assaulted a few more other times. But when I hung out with all of my homeboys, I felt safe. I felt protected. And my homegirls, I felt protected. Tell me what drove you to being so sporadic, if you will.
Being young, growing up in my grandmother's home, and in the community I grew up in, on Central and 74 between Central and Wadsworth. Coming up as a youngster, I've seen a whole lot. You know what I mean? That's I can't blame what I witnessed and what I seen, but that kind of what drew me out to the streets. My grandmother, she tried to do her best to keep me at home and reading and writing and going to school and doing the right thing to come up to be a wholesome, well-educated young man. However, there was forces out there on that east side, that really attracted me, And, that's one of the things that, made me, I wanted in, So it just, how a moth, is attracted to that porch light, and it ain't no good for him. He gonna buzz around it, buzz around it, buzz around it. That's how, the street light coming up on that east side attracted me and got me off that porch. Yeah. Got me out that yard, got me to running through the alleys, got me to, getting out that house.
Do you feel like you chose the streets because something was missing? Do you feel like it was just attractive? Tell me what really drew you in.
Well, you know, you got to realize, you know, a lot of them dudes on the east side, you know, they had, you know, they was cool. You know, they had nice clothes, you know, they had nice cars, you know, they spoke in a different kind of, you know, vernacular, you know, some of them, you know, was known for fighting real good in the community. You know, some of them was known for being hustlers, you know. Let me tell you something, like, I remember coming back from Edison Junior High and Junior High School, you know, and so I like the textbooks. I've always liked the school. I've never been, you know, lacking in school. You know, it was just that I was distracted. So I'm gonna be honest with you. I got a lot of my power, politics, and economics from, you know, the denizens of the community. We talking about drunks. We talking about dope fiends. We talking about crackheads. We talking about sherm heads. You know what I mean? You know, all these people you would interact with between going to school and coming home. And so it's that type of thing that I'm talking about that attracted me. Ladies of the street, you know what I mean, would talk to you. This is where, you know, I got a lot of information for. So naturally, you know, I couldn't wait to, I was always a kid that ran away. My grandmother couldn't keep me at home if she wanted to be honest with you. Because if she tried to, that lady used to lock me in the closet so she can take a nap. As soon as she opened up that closet, I was up over that fence down one of them alleys, you know what I mean, allured, attracted to them streets. So I was gonna get out of there by hook or by crook.
Mm-hmm. Some way or another, huh?
One way or another, I was out there. It was destined for me.
So there wasn't like a situation where I didn't really start fighting a lot, because some of the people that hung around thought that, oh, she's so pretty, she gonna be a punk. I didn't start fighting until I got tired of them messing with me. Cause I'm like, fight for what? But then when they found out I had hands, then it was different. But I never wanted to be that kind of person, because that wasn't me. But I wanted to be around because I felt safe. But once I got to a place where I got very aggressive, that was it. And it took me probably until I was like 29 to stop fighting. I mean, it was really, I was angry. I felt disconnected. I didn't feel love. What was the reason that caused you to make those decisions? Because what I heard you say is grandma took care of me. So where was mom and where was dad?
Oh, dad was there. And that was there. I lived in my grandmother's house. See what I'm saying? I lived in my father's mother's house. Even May Sims is my father's mother. I grew up, you know what I mean, in her house. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I have it's eight of us. You know what I mean? And my mother, you know what I mean, was 13 and 14 years old, you know what I mean, when she had me and my sister. God bless her soul. She just passed, you know what I mean, about 2 years ago. You know, but she was a young mom, you know, but my grandmother, you know what I mean, like, no, you know, you 17, she younger than you, he coming here. So, you know, I grew up in her house.
So grandma pulled you in to try to give you a little bit more structure because your parents were young. That makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you was too doggone busy for grandma to hold on to you.
Yeah, well, you know, now you got to realize 1981, you know, Sherm is out there, PCP, you know what I mean? PCP is out there, and freebasing is just now, you know, getting cracked. But it wasn't the at the low end of the totem pole. It was looked upon as fly in my community. So it was only certain people, you know what I mean? They call them quote unquote crackheads now, but when, you know, back then, 1981, at 11 years old.
Been there, done that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, at 11 years old, you got to realize that, you know, you have to lead by example. If you tell me that, you know, I shouldn't smoke cigarettes, and then every time I look around, you got a Newport in your mouth, do you think I'm going to listen to you? just because you my parent or just because we have the same blood.
Right.
See what I'm saying? So
makes a lot of sense. I think that
you know, there's a point, not to cut you, but there's a point where, you know, you rebel. You feel what I'm saying? With somebody telling you to go to school and to get an education and so that you can get a good job. You know what I mean? When you're looking at their actions, they telling you one thing and then you looking at what they doing. That's kind of hard when your words are not in alignment with what you're doing. You see what I'm saying? So as a parent, you feel what I'm saying? You feel like you got it like that. And sometimes, you know what I mean? You're sitting on a person, he hears everything or she hears everything that you're saying, but what you telling me, you not doing. So how you expect me to do it? I'm out of here. You feel me? And so there you go. You got T-Tiger. You got Momo. You know what I mean? You got Skull. You see what I'm saying? You got Lil Bo. You got Boxer. You got Bobo. You got them dudes that's out there hanging out. Oh, yeah, I want to be a part of that. You feel what I'm saying? So that's how, you know, you can take something that's in a family situation that's not in alignment with what the authority figures in the family are saying, and that it's easy, you see what I'm saying, to find a male figure that you look upon as strong. Now, he can be the D-boy, you feel what I'm saying? He can be a hustler, you know what I mean? He can be a player, he can be a Mac, but you got to realize you're dealing with a young mind who's susceptible at 11 and 12 years old in junior high. He's looking at what's in his family, and then he's looking at what's out there in the street. And if mama got a job and grandmama got to go to work and daddy got to go to work, you know what I mean? That last key kid thing is kind of out of there when I was coming up in 1981, because everybody had to have a job. So who gonna watch you?
Mm-hmm. You gonna watch yourself.
Exactly. You feel what I'm saying? Because daddy saying, here go the key. When you leave 75th Street School, I'll be at Martin Luther King, you know, working in the psychiatric ward. You feel what I'm saying? So, you know, who's there watching? Who's there overseeing? You're basically watching and raising yourself. So when you have those figures that's in the community that one looks up to, because Superman out of it, Batman out of it, Incredible Hulk out of it, you know what I mean? Super Friend, they out of it. Some of these other guys, you know what I mean, become your hero. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah, some of them other guys become your heroes. That cartoon thing is out of there.
Don't you work anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense when I think about the life that I've been blessed to live, and it's a blessing now because I get to go back and rewrite some things. But when I think about growing up, because two of my kids' father got killed in drive-bys, right? And so I think about the guys that I chose and why I chose them and how both times I could have went down beside both of them, but God had another plan for me. And the first thing comes to mind is healing, right? Just healing. Healing from our parents and the mistakes that they made raising us, our grandparents, because the first drink that I had was my grandmother used to play cards all the time, and when I wasn't at my father's house, which is on the east side, I was on 58 on the west side, and my grandmother used to play cards. And so I found myself 7 and 8 years old, after I got assaulted by my stepfather, I found myself drinking from the cans, the little beer that's left in the cans from the women that played cards. You know, they playing cards, drinking beer. You don't know what's in it. You just grab these cans and whatever it is, you drown, you know. And before I knew it, I was an alcoholic, right? Doing, you know, hanging out with a couple of friends that I have, messing with the old men at the liquor store. He just want to look at you. And they would use, pie me off, you know, now it's called exploitation. I didn't know what it was then, but they was like, you cute, just go over and let him talk to you. Come on, we gonna go get this. And here I go, all right, long as he don't touch me. But the thing is, to reach within ourselves and find what it takes to heal from that past. And for me, I had to go back, Alton, and heal the little girl inside of me, because after being assaulted, I was gang raped by 6 Bloodstone villains from 5-6. 6 guys raped me. And after I got raped by them, I came over there, I had my little blue outfit on, and that's what I wrote about it in my book. He kept saying, that's what you get for being a Crip. That's what you get from a Crip. You know, we little bitty kids. I was 12 years old. And so I started experiencing so much anger, fighting, getting into it all the time, arguing and fighting all the time. What was that thing that just sent you off? Until whenever you got to a place where now you can mellow down, what was that one thing that just sent you on a journey?
To be honest with you, it really didn't take much. It didn't take much for me, because, you know, we come up into a society where, you know, little black young men, you know what I mean, are taught, society teaches us not to express ourselves. So when you are getting those messages, you know, that those tough guy messages from your most your immediate family, I should say, you know what I mean? And then on top of that, from society, those are the messages that you get. We learn as young black men not to be able to express ourselves. So because I got those messages early, that kind of resonated with me. And so, you know, I cut off regards to how I was feeling. I would never express it, so I acted out, like so many other black men that's in, you know, our communities. We act out. You see what I'm saying? Because we don't have a voice, or we don't feel comfortable enough to sit down with somebody and say, "This is how I feel." So for a lot of years, you know, everybody looking, "Oh, that's Big Slim Bad. Oh, Slim Bad a fool." You know what I mean? And Slim Bad did this, and look, Slim Bad did that, and Slim Bad did this. But they ain't even knowing that's that young boy in me. You see what I'm saying? That can't express itself. You know what I mean? So I act out, and those, you know what I mean, end up being which what we would call random, you know what I mean, acts of violence. You see what I'm saying? Which I paid for. You see what I'm saying? Then we got so many of these penitentiaries, these YAs, these county jails, and, right, and these juvenile facilities filled up with young black men, you know what I mean, with the same thing, random acts of senseless violence that we perpetrate on each other. Now these are some of the dudes that, you know, you went to elementary school with. You went, yeah, to junior high school with. You know what I mean? He ain't really did nothing to you, and you ain't did nothing for him. The only things y'all did was went separate ways. You live in this community, he live in this community, but when you see him, you a gunny, or he'll gun you, or you'll put hands on him, or he'll put hands on you. But it all goes back, you see what I'm saying, to, like I say, those, that's a thing that has been perpetuated in the black community and in society, period, that, you know, young boys are tough, and men don't express themselves, and, you know, men ain't got feelings. And sometimes, you know, when you can't speak out, you know what I mean, you act out. And so for me, it didn't take much for me, you know what I mean, to act out to everybody else. Oh, the homie a rider. The homie putting that work in, but they ain't knowing the homie hurting like hell, you know what I mean? And I'm just using the hood and this gang thing as a vehicle, you know what I mean, to express myself.
And that's the message that needs to be heard so much. Because when you say Slim Bad did this, I never forget, I was gone and 2 of our homegirls, rest in peace, came to me and was like, Slim Bad knocked you know who on his butt. And I was like, really? And I was like, for real? And it was like, you missed it. Everybody was so excited because it was a big old stuff at the park, a whole bunch of us kids acting a fool, but, you know, messing up the park when kids actually want to go to the park and play. Here we are up there cutting up. But when they see that, that's the first thing they do. They heighten that, and then they try. I felt like I was an animal because I got sicked on people like you would do a dog. You know, go get her, you know. And sometimes I didn't want to. Sometimes I didn't want to. But because I knew that I had to, I did. You know, well, I felt that I had to. And so when you say they don't know that you're in pain, that's that anger that no matter what that pain is, it a lot of times it comes out in aggression. If we can't identify what we're feeling, and what I felt for me is that I didn't have a voice, as you mentioned, because I told my mother that my stepfather, excuse me, had assaulted me. I told my grandmother that my stepfather had assaulted me. You know, I told them that those, well, I didn't tell about those six boys until I got 16, but I still told, and it felt to me like nobody really took care of me and cared for me. And so when you talked about those older people in the neighborhood that looked like a lot of fun, you know, one of those names you named was one of my kids' father, and none of them are alive right now. They're all, well, Lil Bo might be alive, but and I know Boxer alive, at least the last I heard, but the other ones are no longer alive, you know, for the cause of, and I call it a menace to society, because that's how I really felt once I started to get my life together, because of some of the choices and decisions that I made at the park, hanging out and this stuff going on, people would grab their kids and run off. My dad had me trained like a dog, where he would whistle shoo from my house and I would hear him and I knew it was time to go home. I remember this day, it was a lot of stuff going on at the park, and there was people, and I was fighting with somebody and tripped over some ladies, over a lady's baby, and a baby hit his head. The baby head was busted on the side, but it was so much fighting and commotion. I still think about that today. I remember when Bitman got shot, you know, those type of things just ring in my head, like, all because I didn't have a voice, did I react and respond in the way that I did to make me, as I call it, a menace to society. And today, for the last 25 years, I have been on this journey to, I can never make up for what I've done, but what I can do is reach back and get those younger kids that's going down the road that I went to. They going down that road, and they going down that road, and I didn't do a whole lot of mess in the neighborhood. I didn't do a lot, but I did enough for me to know that I needed to be a better person, to be a better person. So when you think about, I do know you have kids. Tell me a little bit about how many children you are, how many children you have, how old are they, where are they, what's going on in their life?
All of them are doing well. I have my oldest son, Marquise, he's working, he's doing well. He's, let me see, this is 92, this is 2022. So he's Marquise, about 32. Lil Alton is 2 years younger than him. He's working, he's doing well. He's one, my junior, he actually has just had a daughter. He made me a great grandfather. So I have a great granddaughter named Amore. Daywan and my youngest daughter, they work together, you know what I mean, doing security and stuff like that. Daywan will be 24 this year in October. And then my daughter, she's the apple of my eye, my baby, is Sequoia. I got three boys and one girl. And Sequoia, she'll be 21 this year. I'm so proud of her. That's my baby.
All with Lisa, huh?
All of with Lisa.
That's cool. And how is Lisa? Is she good?
Oh, Lisa's doing well. Yeah, Lisa's doing well. She's doing her good one too. She's good. Good, she's great.
Good for her. So, I want to say this. I want to thank you for your time. I know you shared some personal things. Sometimes we don't want people to know what's going on in the inside.
Right.
But when you think about the pain that a lot of African-American men are suffering, because I heard you highlight that,
right. That
they are suffering. If you can leave a message for a young man heading on that trail, what would you tell him that could save his life?
Pay attention, pay close attention to the people just around him. Family, homies, friends, associates, friends of the family, pay attention to what's going on around you. Because it's going to be real important whether, you know, you end up spending the rest of your life in prison or locked up somewhere or either, you know, in that graveyard. And the reason why I say this is because while I was locked up, you know, I lost two people that was close to me. I lost my little brother to a gang-related drive-by shooting. You feel what I'm saying? While I was doing my federal bid, you know? And that is something that what you just asked me would have been something that I would have imparted and shared with my little brother. You know, watch who you with, boy. Watch who you around. Watch who you call your so-called friends, you know what I mean, and your homies. So the same thing that I would tell my little brother is the same thing, the same message that I would give to a lot of these dudes. I don't care where they from, Crip, Blood, you know what I mean? It don't matter, you know what I mean? Because they all young black men to me. You feel what I'm saying? And so if I could impart anything to them, would to be not to make the same mistakes, you know what I mean, that I made, because I'm 53 years old, and because of the choices, conscious choices, nobody made me do nothing, conscious choices and conscious decisions, you know what I mean, that I made early on as a young man, you feel what I'm saying, I end up loving 59th Street East Coast, you know what I mean, more than I love my own kids. Not by my mouth, but if you look at my actions, you know what I mean? Why did this dude, you see what I'm saying, keep being over there in that hood doing whatever he's doing in there for the set, you feel what I'm saying, when he got what you was just talking about, four kids, a family, and a wife. You feel what I'm saying? So it ain't what you say out your mouth, it's your actions. So my actions show that 59th Street was more important than them. You feel what I'm saying? And so that's the reason why, you know what I mean, I would impart that on, you see what I'm saying, the younger generation. You feel what I'm saying? Watch who you're around. Watch what you're doing.
So I have a question. How long, if you was to add up how much time you spend in jail, do you mind sharing that? I'm curious.
I've done since 1981, and I actually, this is the last part of my book. It's on the last part of my book. So I have a last part of my book. When you buy Guide to Sustaining Your Freedom After Incarceration, I spent '81 to 2023, over 50% of my life has been incarcerated. And let me put it to you like this, I'm gonna simplify it for you. I've been in jail, in juvenile hall, in camp, in a county jail, several prisons, in a federal prison, over more time than I've been on the street. So I put it like this, I done spent more time incarcerated than I've been on the street. And I started going to jail in 1981, and I'm 53 years old. So you're talking about over 40 years, in and out, in and out, in and out. And so now you see why I wrote this book on recidivism prevention and why I'm so passionate about, you know what I mean, trying to reach out to people so they won't make the same mistakes I did, because you'll look up and life go by fast. You know, life go by fast. Like I said, 1981, I'm 53, so I got over 40 years in and out of some type of incarceration.
Some type of institution, right?
Some type of institution.
What that just reminded me of is when you go through so much in your life, and that's why earlier I said locked out or locked in, locked up or locked in. Because even in our minds, even when we're not in jail, we're locked up, right? It's amazing that you function as good as you do, because I service a lot of men that get out from prison from a long time. They can't even function in the world.
Right.
Absolutely not function. And it's a waste of a lot of good people. Thank you for watching again. This was Mr. Alton, also known as Slim Bad. You have a wonderful day.